Thanks, Bobby. It's coming up on 8:16 right now. About this time each week, we check in with Bill Hall, the real estate guy from Premier Homes and Properties, which sponsors this portion of the program. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good, Carl. How are you doing? I haven't seen you in ages.
I know. It's been like far too long.
We need to get you back in the studio again.
Well,
that's where you operate the best.
That's true. The target date for that is Memorial Day. Okay, that Monday, so.
I can't hardly wait.
Well, it'll be Wednesday then before I see you, but that's okay.
It's
I can't
okay.
either.
I'll listen on Monday if I know you're going to be here.
Oh, well, okay. Thank you. Appreciate that, too. So Bill Hall joins us, yeah, every Wednesday about this time talking real estate. So how's it looking right now? Any break in the inventory?
There really isn't. There hasn't been a lot of effect. It almost gets harder to talk every single week to come up with topics when we have such a, a slope that is very slippery right now.
Yeah.
So it's just a challenge. But you know, I'm going to drill down. I talked a little bit about the April numbers in our region and how they unpack them and see how they came out. But overall, it's been slow. About 47% of the houses that went under contract in our area in April had to be discounted. That means they were listed for one price. They sold for a lesser price.
Yeah.
That's a huge number.
That's what I like to hear.
I know. That's a huge number right there. So we have to be conscious of that. But April was a lackluster month overall. We were down over last year. If we look at just April alone in the tri, we sold like 582 houses, I think. And we were down almost 30%. It was about 28% and change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good. But, you know, we had some good performers. I mean, we had, in Greene County, for instance, they sold 67 houses in April, and which represented only a 10%, pullback from the previous year. So that's good. But, you know, overall, medium home prices have continued to go up. That means what's happening is people... When you hear medium home or sale prices, when we talk about that, you're talking about the average of all the houses together, what that number comes out to be. That's the average, the median average. And so that number can be, if you sold a $500,000 house and you sold a $100,000 house, that could be a 3 to 350 average, if that gives anybody any. So when people talk about medium sale prices, It doesn't really reflect how people's houses are doing. It's just a combination of all the sales together. So Sullivan County, actually, they sold 151 houses in Sullivan County in the month of April. That's a lot of houses, right? Mm-hmm. But yet it was down almost 40% from a year ago.
Let me ask you this, Bill, because there's lots of new home construction and so forth going on around the tri. I mean, we hear about almost a new one every day.
Sure.
How will these, as they come onto the market, how will that affect the inventory situation and pricing in general? Is it too early to say?
No, it's not too early because we've been experiencing a new housing boom for several years now. And what that does, it just helps alleviate the need for more housing, but we don't have enough of them being currently built. I mean, we're still way undersupplied. So it does help. It all helps. It all goes to helping, but we just need more houses. And that's really the existing homes is really the house that we need. And what's happening is homeowners right now are just absolutely getting out of the housing market. The homeownership is actually taking a sidebar. So the only homes that are really getting sold are people that have to move. For job
discounters,
yeah,
right?
For job relations, they have to move.
Okay.
Maybe they can take a job in another area, or their job was terminated and they have to leave our area, or they're retiring and moving to another area. Those people have houses to sell, or somebody going into assisted living or an estate sale. That would be another way to sell. But as far as people trying to upgrade and upsize and downsize, that's kind of been put on the sidelines right now, and that's causing a lot of effect in the market in terms of, you know, the inventory, because the majority of the people that have houses, we're used to them upgrading, downsizing, upsizing, and every sizing known to mankind. And if they stop, which they have pretty much, when they stopped, it put the whole brakes on the inventory aspect.
But what's going to be able to move people, speaking nationally? I mean, is it going to be a lowering of interest rates, or is it going to be, what do you think is going to make the difference finally when we get to a point where there's an inflection?
I think it's a combination of several different things. Number one, okay. I think that the interest rates have a huge aspect on if people can afford to buy a house right now or not. That's the bottom line. Do we want to spend that money? But here's what's going to happen. If they don't and they really can't afford to buy a house and they rent a house or they rent an apartment, for instance, they're going to find that the apartment appreciation rates are going up and it will catch up to that mortgage payment without having any equity. Without being able to buy any, you know, accumulate any equity. Because you can't accumulate equity in an apartment. All you can accumulate is clout.
You can just hope, you get a good long-term lease.
Yeah. You know? Well, yeah, but when you saw a long-term, are you saying 5 years? Because if you say a five-year lease, which is highly abnormal, if you say a five-year lease, they're going to build in a minimum of 4 to 5% a year, appreciation. Because that's what they think they're entitled to. And they're in it for the money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Pure and simple. It's all a money thing. So what happens when you're not buying and you're renting, you don't accumulate that equity. So the equity is worth something at the end of the day, even if it's just a small amount of equity that you accumulate over a period of 5 years. It's something more than you would have gotten on a rental aspect.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think that I don't want to sound like I'm against rentals. I think the rentals, and I've been personally a renter before. I think they are good for some situations, but not every situation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so my whole business is based on home ownership. So if anybody thinks that I'm not going to carry that home ownership flag and run down the street with it screaming out as loud as I can, I am, because that's what I do for a living. You know,
right.
but I still think that rentals are a great option for some people sometimes, depending on their circumstances. But home ownership overall, if you look at it over a totality of 20, 30 years, that accumulated wealth that you get through just the equity that you accumulate in the home that you're paying for and taking care of is worth a lot more than a rental. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, and I've heard people talk about, there's another crash coming like in 2008. Do you see that at all or not?
Absolutely not. The only crash that I'm thinking is California may have to pull out of the union because they're going to give away all the money.
Yeah.
But I mean, besides California being that little freaky.
And everybody's leaving too. They're like, forget this, man.
The cost of living and weather.
But the governor has already said it's okay. Let the people live. We're here to help the homeless.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they have homeless camps and villages there.
Yeah.
Which is really unbelievable. But in itself. But so back to what I was talking about. As far as people changing, is there going to be a big catastrophe? No. It's not going to be anything like we saw in 2007 when we did see a crash in the market, and it was because really, we overlent. We lent people money that shouldn't have gotten home loans.
Risky loans,
yeah,
absolutely.
So that was it. And that was, you know, it's our fault. You know, we did that. Our government pushed the lenders into it, giving them all kinds of, you know, incentives to lend money.
Right.
So, you know, that can't happen anymore because the government had to foot the bill on that one. And that means when we say the government, I mean you and Alec.
That's right. Got that.
Yeah, that's always funny when somebody goes, oh, yeah, the government bailed everybody. It's we are the government.
Yeah. My favorite statement is, I'll write it off. Okay. Write what off? It's your own money. What are you writing off?
Bill, real quickly, you're talking about money and everything. The bank failures that we've seen over the past couple of months here and the rescues in various ways, does that affect the willingness of local and regional banks to get themselves involved? Does it have any kind of an effect at all? Do you know?
That's not my expertise, Carl.
Sure.
But I will speak to my opinion on that. I think my opinion on that is that every so often, the Fed puts a couple banks in place that are a little bit overextended to keep everybody in line, to be honest with you. And I don't know what their balance sheet is, and I don't know why that Republic Bank failed, but I think Morgan Stanley made out like a bandit when they took over.
Probably, pennies on the dollar.
So I guess it helps to have a great lobbying group like the American Bankers Association so you can absorb anything that comes along at free of charge. So I don't know. I think there's a lot to that. I think there's a lot we don't know. I think the general public is only told one thing, and I think that there's about 1,000 of different things that happened. So anyway,
okay,
but that's just part of that. But back to the real estate market, Carl, I think that we're going to have a good summer. I don't think it's going to be a great summer. I think it's going to be a good summer with
good.
Because we are seeing a few more listings come on, and it's taking a little bit longer for them to sell now, and that's all good stuff because that gives people more choices. When people have choices, they spend more money. When they spend more money, we have a happy economy. So
there
I think there's a lot going on. But if you want to find out more, call me. My office number is 530-7077, but the best number to get a hold of me is 423-946-7575. And shout out to my buddy Kirk Hayes out there, Jim's Motorcycle Sales. I'm supposed to be meeting him this morning at some point, and I hope I do because I love that man. And he's a great contributor to the station.
Oh, he's a good friend of the show.
Yes, he is a great contributor to the station, and we love him. And he, and his whole family is a good people. So, well,
so you're
going
to be getting an e-bike to ride back and forth between your...
Well, when they come out with them, yeah, I mean, and they have come out with them. But
oh, yeah, they're out with big e-bikes.
I just don't want to... I mean, I'm bad enough in an e-car. Can you see me on an e-bike?
Fair enough. Okay. 946-7575, the number to reach Bill Hall almost instantly if he doesn't pick up... At that second, he'll get back to you as soon as he can. I know that from experience. Bill, always a pleasure, a lot of fun. Take care, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
I can't hardly wait.